Good morning, afternoon, or evening, depending on when and where you are listening from. I hope you guys are doing well today. Guys and gals, my name is Joshua of You Enjoy Life, and I'm excited to share this podcast with you today. But first, I want to try something, just a really quick, simple breathing exercise. And this is just a kind of a way to like drop into yourself. Maybe you've been rushing, maybe you feel a little bit of anxiety or stress or something, and this takes 5 seconds to do, and you can do this all the time, and it's amazing how much sort of grounding and healing it can actually, you know, create within your body. So all I want you to do is take a deep breath in through your nose, breathe out, just like that with that hiss. Okay, we're gonna do that 2 more times, and as you do it, just sink into the ground. Just notice anywhere you feel uncomfortable, any distress, just kind of let it all melt away. Right, one more, but this time we're going to add a, and don't worry if you spit all over yourself or you can't do it right, you'll get the hang of it. Ready? Oh, there we are. It's nice to meet you. So the reason I wanted to start with that exercise is because right before I was about to record this podcast, I actually just got out of the gym. My body's warmed up. I was hitting the punching bag and kicking it, and I was doing some weights, and I was doing some bike, and then I also did this really fun, intense kind of martial arts dance workout. So my body feels good, but my voice hasn't been warmed up, and I was starting to do the warm-up by myself. I'm like, wait, what is the point of doing it by myself when I can do it with you guys? You know, what is the point of actually kind of like trying to prep myself and be this perfect version or whatever of myself on the podcast when I can just show up where I am and then actually take you through a bit of my process that might actually help you to just drop into your voice, drop into your body, and feel a little bit more grounded. And that exercise, I usually don't just do it 3 times. I might do it for a few minutes, 5 to 10 minutes straight, and just kind of really feel into it. And it's amazing just taking 5 minutes even to breathe and just like settle into your body, how much of a difference you can feel. And it's a great way to start off your day, but it's also a great way to kind of like check in. You know, let's say you've gone through the day and you're 4 hours into your work or you're studying and you're just feeling like really out of it and lost. Just take 5 minutes, just take a break. You know, to me, when I used to work these jobs and people get cigarette breaks, I always thought it wasn't fair that it was okay if you were smoking, you could go outside, you know, every hour or whatever and take these 5 minute cigarette breaks. But if you didn't smoke cigarettes, you didn't get the breaks. And like, why not take breathing breaks? You know, there should be some kind of breathing break. That's essentially what you're doing. You're smoking a cigarette. You're breathing something in. I'm not saying it's a good thing that you're breathing in, but I always felt that was really unfair. It's like, why do they get to do that? And I think a lot of people are developing cigarette habits because they got to take the break. I've talked to people about that. They're like, yeah, well, you know, it became this thing where I could take a break and socialize with someone for a few minutes or have a few minutes to myself, and then I just kind of got hooked on cigarettes. So I'm like, let's take breathing breaks. Let's make that the thing. Why not? So why am I excited to chat with you guys today? Besides from the fact that, you know, I just love doing this and it's just brought so much joy and love to my heart. Recently I've opened up my podcast to anyone that wants to write in and just kind of share something that's going on in their life, if they're looking for guidance or insight or advice or whatever it is. And I feel like the podcast, not that it's always going to be this, but I feel like the direction is leaning more towards this because it really helps me feel inspired and feels more connected to you. It feels like we're having a conversation, and just kind of like paves the way of this podcast. And recently I got a letter from someone. It was super heartfelt. Really vulnerable, honest, and just like really touched me in a way where I felt so inspired to want to share this because what she was going through I think is something that a lot of people experience, but it's also something that like because it's all around shame, I'll tell you that. Because it's a shameful thing, it's easy to want to hide it and not really know where to go, not really know where to turn. So I thought I would kick it off by actually reading this email, and I did have her permission, which was really sweet. Again, whenever I, if you send an email and there's a chance that you get picked to be on the podcast, I will never reveal any specific details about who you are. Just share the story and whatever you feel comfortable with me sharing. So here we go. Hello, Josh. Just want to start off by saying I appreciate everything you put out. You've not only inspired me to get in the kitchen with Brothers Green, but your creativity is just contagious. I always thought I could only focus and give my all to one thing, but you've really inspired me to take on everything around me that sparks some creativity. I've listened to your podcast from start, And I'm so happy with the way it's going. It's very authentic, and I think that's why it's great. I love how an idea finds you, and you just take it and roll with it. Well, first off, thank you for that. So here's where it gets really amazing. I'm going to skip the other paragraph. She just said that she was going to write, but then she decided not to. Actually, I'm going to read that. It's actually really ironic that you wanted to receive emails from your listeners, because I actually wrote an email out to you about a month ago, but I scrapped it because I thought it wasn't written well for some reason, and that it was a bit strange for you to receive an email from a stranger complaining about her life. Ha ha. So first of all, I just want to address that. This is not the first time I've gotten an email where someone's expressed that. They felt kind of like silly or weird, or that they thought that, you know, the email wasn't right or it'd be strange. Like, if there's one thing that this podcast can be in your life, it's to know that whoever you are is okay. I accept you for you. I don't have any judgment for who you are, for the things that you've done in the past, for the things that you're going to do. I love you for who you are, and you should love yourself. And here's the thing. People do bad stuff. I've done bad things. I've lied. I've cheated. I've stolen. I've made mistakes throughout my life. And every day I work and grow to be the best version of myself. And the reason I can do that is because I have love for myself, and I have people around me now that support me and love me for me. They don't just sit and judge me and, you know, put me down and shame me. They love me for me. And what I found is when you create an environment around yourself, within, you know, your own mind and also the people around you, where it's uplifting and positive and people don't just shame you, you actually become the version of yourself that you want to be. The reason people lie and cheat and steal and do and say bad things, I feel, is because a lot of times they're lonely. You know, they feel really guilty. They feel a lot of shame. And it just builds up inside. You know, with a little bit of love, amazing what things can change. So anyone that wants to write, don't be ashamed. It doesn't matter how your writing skills are, you know, or if you think your topic is too normal or too weird or whatever. Like, I love weird. I love normal. I love it all. I just, if you're honest and you're vulnerable and you reach out and you try something, that's all I care about. Okay, so here we go into the main chunk of this wonderful email. Anyways, I just wanted to see if maybe talking about the subject of shame would interest you. And I'll just say it does. that's me adding that in. Within my case this year in February, me and my friend of 2 years, and we were super close, started sleeping with each other. Maybe a bit of a backstory. I'm a 21-year-old girl, and my friend happens to be a girl. I had thoughts of maybe being bisexual prior to this, but it never really bothered me. I dated guys and didn't really think about it. However, fast forward today. We have been in a relationship since May, and it's absolutely amazing. I couldn't say anything bad about her, which is, I think, is quite rare. I really don't know. Let me read that. I couldn't say anything bad about her, which I think is quite rare. I really don't know, ? So that was I read that wrong. Ha ha ha. Sleeping together was strange, and I started to feel a lot of shame, especially connected to the sexual aspect of it all. As time went on, we started to like each other, and when I told my family, my sister acted quite badly. I must say that she has quite bad mental health, and we were away from home, which causes her reactions to be quite aggressive to everyday situations, like bumping into a stranger, for example. I'm not sure if you know anyone like that, but just imagine someone who is completely and utterly unconscious of their actions. So even though her reaction wasn't the best, I sort of have a bit of space for understanding, which has been hard. It was as if all the shame that I felt inside had been clarified by a member of my own family. Since then, we haven't been as close, and neither her or my dad really mentioned my girlfriend. However, my mom is super amazing and asked about her a lot, and I try to be grateful for the fact that at least she is great about it. Anyway, I've gone completely off topic, so today I just still feel shame and lingering inside. I just still feel shame lingering inside me. I know that I am a good person, and I am doing nothing wrong, but especially when I am in a negative headspace, I am aware of the negative thoughts appear. I really struggle with feeling shameful and sadly. I feel as though it intertwines within my relationship. I feel awkward showing affection, and I don't mean in public, I mean when we are privately together. I feel awkward even kissing or hugging her. She's super amazing and patient with me, but I feel as though I have this beautiful relationship, and I'm just taking it for granted because in my head it's not the social norm, quote, and I should feel guilty. I feel as though I've had this fantasy of being with a guy and something completely different has happened, which has caught me off guard. Sort of like I had this strong expectation inside, and now that it's broken, my ego is destroying me for it. But what's funny is the last thing I want is to lead this, quote, typical life that is socially acceptable, like the robotic nature of society, aka go to school, get married, get a house, and be miserable in a job you hate just for money. You see what I mean? I feel like I am so aware of the social constructs that have formed within our culture and for everyone else, and I'm able to say, F you, I'm going to bleep that out, to everyone else. I have never seen gay relationships as a bad thing, but when it comes to yourself, I feel as though it's really hard. Basically, shame is the main subject of question. I hope that you understand me over all this babble. Have an awesome day. Josh, your ideas have inspired me and continue to inspire others, so don't stop putting out your ideas and words into the world. Thank you. Whew. So, first off, reading that, I realize I haven't read something out loud, other than, like, my wife and I will read together, you know, at night sometimes, but I haven't read something out loud, like, word for word in a long time, so I apologize if anything sounded off grammatically. That was my fault, not the writer. She wrote a really, really beautiful, amazing email. So that's just a heads up, and that's actually a kind of a good place to start, because I used to feel a tremendous amount of shame, and this is just a small tidbit before I really get into this, a tremendous amount of shame around reading out loud, and I'm kind of actually being a little bit, like, triggered in a good way to remember that. When I was a kid in school, I hated reading. I avoided it, like, all costs. And in school, whenever we had to do summer reading, I would always read Cliff Notes and ask people about it, because I could not stand reading books. In fact, I didn't read a full book and, like, really grasp it until I was in college, when I was about 20 years old. Believe it or not, somehow I made it that long without actually reading a full book. And I would, you know, skim stuff, but I just struggled to read. So whenever I got called on in class, I felt a lot of shame and guilt around not being able to read, because these kids would be in school and they would read so well and their grammar was great. And I just felt like, you know, to be honest, an idiot. So I had a lot of shame around that. And just reading that, I was kind of remembering that feeling of, like, oh no, these people are going to judge me for not reading right and all this stuff. So I just wanted to get that out there and be honest about that. So to start off, sometimes I find the best way to understand a specific thing is to start off by reading the definition in the dictionary, you know, on Wikipedia, wherever you find. And I'm not saying that there's only one definition. Every word has plethora of definitions, but I find that just having a distinct definition really helps me understand, like, you know, a concise way to explain this to you. So when I read the definition of shame, as a noun, a painful feeling of humiliation or distress caused by the consciousness of wrong or foolish behavior. So I think that's a great, simple, basic definition for shame. You know, sometimes we think we know a word. Like, I know what shame means. Right, and sometimes, like, I'll find myself where, like, I know what a word is, but if I were asked the definition of it, I would have trouble explaining it in, like, one sentence. I might give examples or when I felt shame, but to really just, like, make it concise. So I'm going to read that again. A painful feeling of humiliation or distress caused by the consciousness of wrong or foolish behavior. So basically, when we do something wrong, and we're conscious of the fact that we're doing something wrong or foolish or, you know, bad or whatever, we feel distressed. It's this painful feeling. We feel humiliated. We feel like, oh, like there's, like, this gut-wrenching feeling in our stomach. So the reason I bring that up, of course, is because the email that she sent was so eloquent and so, like, just so honest. You know, it was, like, to me, like, every little aspect of feeling shame and why she felt shame was, like, I just felt like she did a great job at really sharing that and writing it. And I think this is something that most people feel. And I'm not meaning to say that I can understand and empathize with her experience exactly, because the truth is I've never been quite in that experience by any means. But I can relate to doing something that feels right, but feels a lot of shame around it. You know, when you do something, you're like, okay, well, this feels right, but, like, society tells me it's wrong, so I shouldn't be doing it. And I find that this happens a lot for someone who does live an outside-of-the-box life. I've had so many times where I've been doing something, even small things, like being at the park and, like, wearing something, like, really colorful and standing out and dancing like a maniac, you know, in the park when everyone else is just jogging and running and people are staring at me and laughing and pointing and stuff and feeling, like, you know, feeling kind of embarrassed or feeling ashamed of what I'm doing in moments, but also being really excited and kind of being free in that. And I think that there's this amazing balance that tends to happen in life when we try to figure out, like, how can we be who we are, be who we want to be, and get comfortable with that when we're fighting our conditioning? And that was a huge thing I saw in the email, that there's this feeling of goodness, but also, like, society tells me it's wrong, and I never thought it was wrong. And this is what I find so fascinating about this, is, like, it's one thing to just think to yourself, like, okay, you know, I have nothing wrong with, you know, sleeping with someone of the same sex. I have nothing wrong with that. And it's like, well, I wouldn't do it, but I have nothing wrong with it. But all of a sudden, you become attracted to that person, and you're doing it, and you're like, whoa, okay, this feels really good. And I had nothing wrong with it, but why do I feel guilty? Why do I feel embarrassed or ashamed or whatever that situation is? And what I've found is that the biggest place to start looking is A, you know, conditioning, and B, you know, looking within like what, and this really comes into, it's really conditioning, but comes into like, what do you believe in your heart feels right versus what like is the conditioned pattern in your mind? So when we grow up, you know, we can talk about nature and nurture all day or whatever, but the truth is you're born into a situation that has very specific guidelines to it. So when you were raised, you know, you might go to school and you have teachers telling you things, or you have a government telling you there's certain laws, and you have parents telling you, like, morally, you should do this, you shouldn't do that. And it's all based around a system that's built upon people's opinions and thoughts and ideas. So one thing could be bad, and then 10 years later, it could be good. You know, it could change. And it's like you see, like, gay rights and marriage and all these things, that they're shifting and they're changing because people are realizing it's ridiculous that someone, you know, who has different beliefs of the way things used to be could be, you know, shamed and be guilted and all this stuff, and be not, like, the fact that someone can't legally, you know, marry whoever they want, or, you know, a person of the same sex, it's like, it goes so deep in our society. And I think that even if it feels good, it can be very shameful. So what I find with shame is, like, you need to really look into yourself. And this is kind of where I'm going with this. You need to take a minute to pause and look into yourself and honestly do a lot of writing. Start to figure out, like, what are the things that you were conditioned to believe? When you grew up as a child, right? When you grew up, you had all these things that were being conditioned to make you believe X, Y, and Z. Now, I find that there's something much higher guiding us. You know, you can call it the universe, you can call it God, you can call it whatever you want. I find that in life we have, like, you know, we have our gut, we have our intuition that's telling us, like, really what's, like, good, bad, what feels right and wrong. And that is the thing that, like, when you were saying, you know, when you're talking in the email, saying that, like, if this person's amazing, you know, they're really patient with me, it feels really great, but, like, there's this part of me that feels so off. That is the part that I focus on. So to take some time to do writing, to really think about, like, A, what were you taught that's making you feel this way? And B, what do you want to create going forward? Listen, I know what it's like with, like, you know, being public display of affection and also, like, privately feeling awkward. Like, my wife, she is far more nurturing and loving and, like, touchy-feely and hands-on and, like, comforting than I am. I grew up in a family where we didn't, you know, we hugged, but it wasn't like these intense embraces. I didn't grow up, like, feeling like that kind of, like, love. Like, she, you know, my wife's half Latin, so it's like this very passionate, like, hugging intensely, like, I love you so much, like, you're amazing, like, this warmness. Whereas, like, I didn't have that. So even whether I was in public and she wanted to be a little more, like, hands-on, you know, I would feel guilty, I'd feel shame, because in my family, what I saw, the conditioning that I saw, you know, was like, no, stay away from that. Like, that's not good. Like, we kind of keep each other at arm's length or whatever it was. So I'm going to talk more about this and really dive into what are the things that you can do around shame. But first, I just want to pause, take a minute to mention our sponsor. And welcome back. So I just took a quick little break to kind of reread the email and go over a few things. And there's just been some big things that are standing up, because the email, there's so much to take in. And shame, I'm realizing, is such a big topic. So I wanted to start in a place that I felt like would really help you get a grasp on, like, where shame comes from, but also, like, how we can, as any individual, whoever we are, how can we understand ourselves enough to actually make changes in our lives? So I have this sort of principle, this theory that I talk about, and it all starts with being a child. So as you probably know, when you're a kid, people talk about, like, being a blank slate. So, you know, you're born into this world and you're almost like a blank canvas, you know, where you can build and paint this beautiful masterpiece. But you start out kind of clean and innocent and pure. Some people might have different views, but I think that's it. Generally, a lot of people have that assumption. When you're a child, you don't really know much. You're just kind of goo goo ga ga, whatever, and you're just taking in life. But what happens is, as we grow older and older and older, as we take in more and more life, we start to hear things and we're told things, and we start to believe things, and we start to make up, you know, different opinions and thoughts and ideas that we have. And not only that, but we make choices and we have actions and we do good things and bad things, and we make mistakes and we, you know, we succeed and we fail, and all this stuff happens. And then one day, if you're lucky enough, I should say, but in the one day,
you become self-aware. And I can only speak for myself, but it was probably around the age of 20, 21. You know, I went my whole life kind of just being this kid, maybe sort of being this oblivious kid, just going through doing whatever I did. And then, you know, I decided to get into music. Music kind of like just guided me. And all of a sudden, here I was realizing that I could actually take a different path in life. When I decided to commit to music as my life, it was something before that that I never thought was possible. And then all of a sudden, I was like, wow, this is something I can do. And when I made that choice to become a musician and pursue a career in music, all of a sudden my life opened up in a big way. And I started reading, I started exploring new thoughts and ideas, and started understanding that I didn't have to be the person that I always thought I had to be, or the person I thought my parents wanted me to be, or whatever it was. I started breaking all of these ideas down. So what I started discovering was, life is almost like a bell curve where you start, you know, from this, imagine like a curve where you start from like the bottom point and you kind of go up and then you go back down. It's like almost like a wave. You start from this very simple, innocent place, and then you go throughout life and, you know, you, like I said, you learn all these things and you're told all these things. You construct all these this beliefs and you kind of create this narrative for yourself. And then one day you hit this point where you become self-aware. And all of a sudden, you're like, wow, I'm this person. I have all these thoughts and opinions and beliefs. And that can also be really scary and overwhelming. For me, it was. I was like, holy dick crap. Like I'm me? Like, I'm this screwed up kid with all these problems and anxieties and issues? Like, damn, I didn't even know I was doing this stuff. I didn't even know these thoughts and these choices were leading me into this direction. Had I only known, right? But that, to me, is the key to everything. That day you hit awareness, I believe then you spend the rest of your life trying to go through all of the things that you've done, all the things that you've believed, all the things that have happened, try to get back to a state. I'm not saying get back to the state of being a baby by any means, but get to this new state where the curve kind of goes back down and you get back to this state of like freedom and openness and peace and like understanding and love. But when I became self-aware, I realized I was a kid who had a lot of negativity, a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety, a lot of fears, a lot of shame, a lot of doubts, a lot of self-talk. And yeah, like before all that, like I had those things, but I wasn't really aware of them. And what's more is I wasn't aware that I could change them. And that is a huge piece to this. Not having the awareness that you can actually change and shift who you are, not to shift your life, it's like you're stuck. But the moment you become aware is when you have your power. So what I think, and going back and reading through this email, you know, and when she's talking about shame and like, you know, not wanting to do things the way that other people did them and having that awareness, but still feeling this immense amount of guilt and shame and whatever it is, I believe that's your strength right there. Without that, why are you living? Without that, what is there to guide you to become the person that you want to be? Because we all have different stories. It's easy to look at some people and say, okay, well, they have privilege or they have, you know, they had it good or easy or they had this or whatever. It's like, but none of that really matters when you're looking at yourself because we all have our own story. We all have our own idea of who we are and, you know, what we are, what we have, what we don't have, whatever it is. You are you. And that's why the you enjoy life. That's why the you in the you enjoy life is there because to me it's about the collective you. There's a you out there and there's a me. And we're all going through something very unique to us, yet we all share a connection because we're trying to get to a state of being in joy, you know, to enjoy this life. Who doesn't want to enjoy life and, you know, be inspired and be excited and feel good about themselves? But it's not that easy. There's no magic pill. Listen, there are pills and there are drugs and things that you can take to momentarily feel better. And I've explored lots of those things, but at the end of the day, you go back to yourself and you're still you, you know? And so when I'm thinking about shame and I'm kind of like, you know, and this is all just sort of coming out through me. I'm not doing research. There's no script. There's no writing. It's just kind of like, you know, progressing my life and kind of thinking through things. And what I've really come to understand, because I was someone who struggled with a lot of different shame in different ways and embarrassment and things, is that that is my power. And I said this a minute ago, but I really want to focus on this idea. Because when you craft a life, like for me, when I realized I had all these issues that I've crafted, kind of unaware, I was just going through life just completely oblivious, and I became this kid. Well, now when I work through those things, when I work through my self-doubts, when I work through my shame and embarrassment, that allows me to become someone new, to decide I don't want to do those things anymore. But if I didn't have those experiences, I would have nothing to go off of to better myself. So whatever shame you might be feeling, like let's say in the situation of the email, you know, she's feeling like there's kind of this, from my sense at least, there's this weird sense of, you know, this feels really right on the one hand, and it goes with a lot of my beliefs about living an unconventional life and, like, you know, just going off of feeling. But yet there's some weird feeling deep inside that I feel guilty and I don't know how to break it. It's like, good, you feel that, you're aware of that. That just doesn't go away. And it's easy to want to say, well, if I only didn't have this, if I could only just be more comfortable, you know, things would be great. If I only just, like, felt what I believe. But it's easy to believe something. It's so easy to believe something. But to actually do it is totally different. That's what I see on the internet all the time. People are talking, they're sharing, they're, like, you know, posting these beautiful, long Instagram posts and everything, life is beautiful and perfect and all these things. But, like, it's easy to just type something and share it. But the actual person, to experience it, to feel it, to really embody it, that's a lifelong journey. Because if you just felt, if you really woke up every day and you just felt grateful and everything that happened to you was just great and perfect and wonderful and this and that and the other thing, like, you'd probably be closed off from the world. So I believe that life is happening for us. And I talked about, like, divine guidance earlier, like, whatever you, like I said, whatever you want to call it, universe, God, like, I think that there are things and forces happening to push us in the right direction of our life, but we need to have suffering. We need to have suffering, we need to have pain, we need to have shame in order to experience those things so that we can, A, relate more to other people in the world, because we all go through this, and B, to actually channel our own power within. That is our story. It's like, my wife always says, she's like, my mess is my message. And to me, that hit, it's such a simple statement, but it's so powerful, because the story that you have is so unique to you. Like, when I first, like I said, when I got together with my wife and she was much more touchy-feely and more open and stuff, I felt kind of awkward and embarrassed, you know? And I had to think about why, because I thought other people were judging me, you know, because I didn't grow up in a household where people were touchy-feely. And then we'd be with my parents, and I remember feeling a lot of guilt. One thing that I really love and admire about my wife is that she loves bringing in, like, just connection. So I would do these things with my family that I'd never done before that made me feel really awkward at first. Because when my family, you know, we get together and we would sit and we'd eat dinner and we'd talk and we'd do our thing. But when my wife sits down, she likes to sit and say a prayer and, like, talk about what she's grateful for and, like, just go through that. And I would feel really uncomfortable because here I was kind of split between two worlds. When I'm just with my wife, like, I can sit there and I can, you know, take that in and be grateful. But when I'm with my family, I'm so conditioned as that is, like, a weird thing or something we don't do, that I had to spend many years going through this weird process of, like, you know, what is right, what is wrong, why do I feel, like, weird around this, why do I feel embarrassed, you know, whatever it is. And there was a lot of embarrassment and, like, just awkwardness around it. And then I started to realize, like, that was me. That's something I had to look inside of myself. Whatever weirdness I felt, I had to look in, I had to find a way to get it out. So when I talked a bit about journaling earlier, I think one of the most powerful tools, because, you know, you can think in your head. It's easy to have a million thoughts in our mind, but one of the most powerful tools is writing. One of the best books I ever read by this guy, Jed McKenna, who's actually a ghostwriter. No one knows who he really is, but it's called Spiritual Enlightenment, The Damnedest Thing, and it just rocked my world. Like, unlike any other book, almost. There's maybe been five books in my life that have totally rocked my world and changed my life, and that was one of them and will always be at the top of that list. And one thing that he talked about that kind of blew my mind was, he's like, you know, the mind is a terrible place for thinking. It's like, what do you mean? The mind is, like, the only place for thinking. But what he was expressing is that when you write stuff down, when you actually get stuff, you know, out of your head and onto your paper, you can see it. When it's in your mind, it's, like, fleeting. You know, you might be thinking about something you're struggling with, and you're thinking about it, and it's kind of running around and racing around your head. But what tends to happen is, like, you end up getting distracted by another thought, or it's really hard to examine it because your brain is, like, trying to process all these things. So when you write stuff down, when you write down who you are, what you believe, what you're going through, and you really look at it, you can start to dissect it. You can start to break it down. You can start to find truth and guidance in that. So let your shame be your guidance. If you're feeling that, good. Go into that. Think about why you're feeling it. I mean, the email was so, there was so much self-awareness. To me, that is, like, the best thing. Like, the first step to anything, as I said, is self-awareness. So when you have that awareness, then all you have to do is, A, start diving into it, and B, start sharing it. shame often goes away when we start sharing how we feel with people. You know, if we're feeling shame, it's like, you know, for me, I'll use an example of like anxiety. Whenever I would feel anxiety, you know, and I get really like my chest would get tight and, you know, whatever it was, I was like, oh, I'm starting to feel this. You know, I would just keep it to myself and try to distract myself so I would eat more, you know, or I would like listen to music or I'd do my whatever. But when I started saying it, like, I'm feeling a bit of anxiety right now. You know, it's amazing what that opens up in a connection with someone. Like when I share with my wife or a friend, like, I'm just feeling really anxious right now. And then it's like, okay, like, why? You know, what's going on? Well, you know, we got a lot of things to do. And like, I don't think we're going to get them done. I've really been doing this instead and blah, 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 whatever it is. And lo and behold, as we're talking, as we're connecting, something shifts, something changes. And there's this space to actually talk it through. And the minute you talk it through, it's not that real. It's like, okay, you know, you're feeling shame around the fact that you're in this relationship and maybe you're not feeling supported by your sister and you're not feeling supported by, you know, your father and your mom. It's like really grateful and that's that. But the truth is, like, whatever your sister and your father, like, whatever they feel, you're so connected to them because you've spent your life with them that there's going to be some connection. Because chances are, like, you know, your father probably has shame around it too. You know, and maybe it's something that he's thought about. I don't know. But maybe it's something that he's thought about and he was always felt very guilty. I remember one of my closest friends growing up, one day we were in school and, you know, we both played football and he was a great football player and I wasn't. And we had this really strong connection. And I think what made our connection special wasn't that we were both good athletes, because I was like the worst on the team and he's one of the best. But I think what was really powerful about this connection is that he felt comfortable talking to me about other things that weren't just sports, because his whole life was sports, sports, sports. And with me, he could share those things and those questions that, you know, maybe he felt a bit guilty around. And I remember one day very distinctly, he goes, "Hey, Josh, he's like, do you ever wonder if you're gay?" And it kind of knocked me off my socks a little bit, because I'd never heard him say anything like that before. And I paused and I was like, "Well, no, you know, I don't wonder. But like, why do you ask?" He's like, "Well," he's like, "I'm not saying that I am." He's like, "But, you know," he's like, "how would you know?" I was like, "Well, you know, I know that I am. I'm attracted to women." It's like, "But, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with exploring that and talking about it. Because, like, yeah, how do you know? Like, what is the standard? Where's the book on it?" And whatever. And we ended up having this really powerful conversation. And I realized that a lot of people have these thoughts. And, you know, like, maybe something that your parents have thought about, for anyone out there, like, maybe something your parents or friends have thought about, but maybe they had too much shame to actually talk about it. Because they're worried by bringing it up, it could lead into this whole thing of embarrassment. Most people want to protect themselves. Most people want to fit in with society because it's so scary to do anything else. I feel that there'd be so much more openness and honesty if there was an environment where people felt comfortable sharing. It's not that people aren't vulnerable and aren't honest and aren't open in their own minds and their own head, but it's so scary to say the truth because that could lead to so many things. So most people play it safe. They go through their job. You know, they do the things they need to do, they hide how they really feel, and they just try to make it by in life without just completely collapsing. So whatever they feel guilty of or shameful from, they hide. You know, there were some things that I did a whole podcast before, and I'm going to do more on it. There was something that I felt very ashamed of, and I will just say this piece, without getting into super detail, but, you know, when I grew up, like, masturbation was something that I was extremely, like, I have felt so much shame around. I felt so embarrassed by, because it was this thing that just felt like I had to do it in secret, you know? And of course, I'm not saying you should go do it in public, but like for me, it was this secretive thing that I never spoke to anybody about. You know, I always hid. It was like this very embarrassing thing. And so even like when I, you know, get into a loving relationship, it's something that like I hid for so many years, and, you know, the way I went about it and all these things, I felt so much shame. And I realized that was something that wasn't necessarily real. As I started meeting other people that were open about it, and they would talk about it, and they'd be excited about it, and they'd say how beautiful of a thing it is. And not just masturbation, but also sex. Like, to me, it was always this very private thing you never spoke about. And because I felt like maybe secretly I was guilty or doing something wrong. But then I started sharing it, and I realized that the more I'm open, the more I share these things that I feel, the more I attract the right people. Because it's easy to spend your whole life trying to, you know, have the acceptance and get the sort of okay from the people that, were raised you or the people you're closest to, but it doesn't mean just because they don't appreciate or accept what you do, it doesn't mean they don't love you. And it doesn't mean that you need to get acceptance from them. There are people out there that are going to look at your situation and say, you know what? What you do is amazing. And you need to focus on the people that are going to lift you up, the people that are going to honestly love you for who you are, not trying to be get like whatever the get the acceptance of people that aren't, and if that person that doesn't accept you is you, well, that's a good place to look, because who do you want to be? Like, how would you treat someone else if they came to you? And you need to start treating yourself like the people in your life. It's amazing how easy it is to be, to be really loving and kind and positive to other people in our lives. But when it comes to us, it's so easy to be super critical. I think a lot of shame comes from that. Like, we feel like people are going to judge us, but anyone that could judge us, maybe their parents or loved ones or whatever, but that's their own internal reflection of judgment. The people that are really going to lift you up are the ones that you need to focus on. So whatever it is that you're feeling in life, just A, know it's okay. Just to wrap this up, do some writing. Take some time to really write and focus on what is going on, and also craft who you want to be. Like, how do you want to see yourself? Even if it seems weird at first, but if you feel guilty or shameful or something, write down on paper, who do you want to be? How do you want to come off in the world? Like, how do you want to look at yourself every day in the mirror? And it's not going to happen right away, but when you start to write it down and you start to read it back, you can realize, oh wow, I don't need to feel guilty about these things. And I can talk to my partner about it, and I can express what makes me feel uncomfortable. And that actually creates connection. Instead of hiding it away or wishing that you were more open, and wishing that you were just different and that you didn't have these things, it's like, share it. It will create a deeper connection between you and the people that you love. I hope you guys had a nice time hanging out with me today. I look forward to sharing so many more. And if you do enjoy this podcast, you can leave a review on iTunes or wherever you listen. That would be freaking awesome as always. And also, share it with a friend. If there's a friend in need, I would love to be able to share this with them. And lastly, feel free to email me. The email instructions will be below if you're going through something and you would like some guidance. And enjoy life. Have a good day.